With me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading. We'll find that in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The chapter in this Sermon on the Mount here, chapter 6, really does have one thesis throughout its entirety, and that is that there is an earthly estate and a heavenly estate. There are things that are valuable in the earthly estate and things that are valuable in the heavenly estate, and we ought rightly to prioritize what we seek after then. So it's very clear, first of all, in these three religious exercises, almsgiving, and by alms, children, the original word here is do not your righteousness. That's actually the literal translation, but that's an idiom. It's a phrase that means something else in its common use than it sounds like in the actual wording of the words itself, right? Like we say, my watch runs. My watch doesn't run. It operates. In French, we say it, il marche. It walks. But a watch doesn't walk, does it? No, that's an idiom. And so when Jesus says, do your righteousnesses, your King James Version translators have rightly rendered that as alms, and alms means giving to the poor, giving to those who are in need. Okay? So it's important then that we understand in almsgiving, in praying, and in fasting, there is something common to all three of these that Jesus will say. And that is that when you do these things to be seen of men, you have your reward. In all three of them, Jesus said, you have or they have their reward. What was the reward that they sought? Something earthly. Something that pertains to this world. They wanted the respect of others. They wanted the honor of others. They wanted the praise of others. And they got it. They got what they wanted. But they left off the true blessing of those things before our Father, which is in heaven. And so when Jesus follows these first three things with talking about lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, we can see that he's already been talking to people who are laying up not money but unseen commodities here on earth. The unseen commodities are what? The respect of others. Others will think well of me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I want others to respect me, to think well of me, to speak well of me, to praise me, to give me the advantages among their own society that I will gain by doing those things. And Jesus says we ought to be seeking rather the reward of our Heavenly Father who sees in secret and then who will reward openly. And by openly there, I don't think it means that it'll be with trumpet or fanfare, but that when the blessing comes from God, we will recognize that it's from him. It's like what Malachi will say in Malachi chapter 3, speaking about the tithe, bring all the tithe into my storehouse and challenge me. Challenge me as to whether or not I will bring forth a blessing from heaven so large you shall not be able to receive it. It'll be undeniable. It'll be open to you. You will certainly understand that. So, the other thing that Jesus is teaching us here in the first part of Matthew 6 is that our religion does not consist primarily in outward things. It does consist in outward things. The outward things are necessary. Prayer is necessary. Fasting is necessary. Almsgiving is necessary. Public worship is necessary. All these things are necessary. They're part of what we ought to be doing. But our religion does not consist in those things, in that you can do all of those things and you can do them sinfully and be satisfied with your performance. That cannot obtain among us. Ours is, as we have learned from the earliest days of our reading the Bible, ours is a heart religion. Ours is a religion of a red beating heart, if you will, and not the outward performance to be seen of men. Now, I will press us here to think on what Jesus says about almsgiving and fasting and prayer. And I will just ask us to consider in our own lives, according to our own behavior, the health of these various activities. What is your generosity like, Christian? Are you finding yourself a generous person to those who are in need? Do you love those who can't, quote unquote, love you back in that way? Secondly, how is your secret prayer life, Christian? I want to ask you that question. I want to ask myself that question. And while we will never find a particular perfection in that, still, let me ask you, do you have a robust, secret prayer life? Do you bear your soul often before the Lord, confessing your sins, asking His forgiveness, seeking His wisdom, asking Him to open His word unto you, praying for your friends and your beloved fellow Christians, that they would enjoy the blessing and sanctification of God as well? Praying for the souls of others, that God would give them hearts to believe, eyes to see, and ears to hear? Is there a wear spot in your carpet from your knees? Well, you don't have to pray on your knees, but you understand what I'm getting at. And then thirdly, with regard to fasting, why do people fast? We fast to make known that the bodily things are going to, for a while, take second fiddle. That there are more important spiritual things to undertake here, and so we're going to neglect the body for a time because there are things more important to consider. And so the attitude of fasting, notice what is fasting for. It is not for outward pomp and show. It is for inward holiness and applying unto God and the neglecting of those outward things for the sake of the greater spiritual good. So with all of that then, we come now to the second portion of the chapter in verses 19 and following, where Jesus will become even more explicit. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Don't seek the praise of others, and don't seek earthly treasure. We have talked much about this, and we've talked at length about it in several different venues and from several different passages. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't condemn being wealthy here, but He does condemn greed. He does condemn a focus upon earthly wealth. He tells us then that we should be content with some of the barest of things because there's such a thing as true riches. And so make use of earthly riches in a way that testifies to your knowledge of the importance of true riches. This is what Jesus is getting at here. Now notice, he will say something that might seem out of course when he says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It sounds out of place at the first blush, but let's think of a light in the right way, not of the way we normally think of it, but in a way that is still has some use among us, although it's the minority use. Whenever you see a doorway and that door is closed and that door has a little window in it, still in the construction trades, we call that a light. Right? It used to be that windows were called lights. Why? Because they let the light in. It's in this way that Jesus uses this phrase, the lamp or the light of the body is the eye. In other words, that's the way we let light in. Now it's easier to see what Jesus is talking about here. If your eye is consumed with darkness, in other words, if it's letting in darkness rather than light, and in our context here, if your eye is covetous instead of single, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And so Jesus makes it plain here that in this talk of money and wealth and how rightly to think about it, that our eye should be open to the things of God and the light that comes in from His Word and those heavenly treasures. And if our eyes are open to that, then our whole body will be full of light. But if our eyes are closed to that and open to this world's goods, to this world's things as our treasure, well, then the light in us is darkness. And we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot be covetous and worship the one true God, because covetousness is idolatry. So I think then this is what Jesus means when he says that the light of the body is the eye. He'll go on to say then very explicitly, no man can serve two masters, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's simply an impossibility, Jesus says. All right, so what is the application? And that runs through the end of the chapter. The phrase, take no thought, is one Greek word, and it means do not be anxious or worried. It doesn't mean to put it out of your mind. Sometimes we want to be overly literal when we read that phrase. That's not what Jesus means. That we should never, ever have even a thought, right? Take no thought. No, it's a phrase that and what it actually means is that we shall not be anxious, that we shall not be worried, that we shall not give undue care, undue and carnal care to these things of the world. Rather, that we will seek first the kingdom of God. And in seeking first the kingdom of God, notice the promise. Your heavenly Father knows you need all of those things, and so He will make sure you have them. All these things will be added unto you. Seek first His kingdom. You won't need to worry about the earthly things. That's what Jesus says. Finally then, notice what He says. He will draw a couple of comparisons. He draws the comparison of the lilies of the field to how Solomon was arrayed. And I think many of us would agree that the lilies of the field were probably more beautifully arrayed than Solomon in his greatest glory, in his greatest robes. I mean, a lot of us love the natural things that God has built up, and we look at a picture of mountains or some ocean scene, and we say, oh, how beautiful, oh, how gorgeously arrayed. We would probably agree with that. But we would agree perhaps for the wrong reasons, right? Jesus is saying that Solomon, the richest and wisest king probably that ever lived, was not rich because of those things. The lilies are richer because your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father clothes them, just like the birds. and so on. So I think drawing those kinds of comparisons, then Jesus will draw us back to the final principle. He's a really good teacher, isn't he? He lays out the principle, he gives several uses and illustrations, and then he gives us that final principle once again: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thus ends the reading then of Matthew chapter 6.